Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, welcome back to True Story, the PR podcast. It's really interesting for me to say that because we recently rebranded. If you didn't catch the news, we rebranded the agency. So we are now True Story Public Relations. So with that, we rebranded the podcast as well. So True Story, that's the new name of the podcast as well. So it's a new year. Oh gosh, so much is happening. Good things. But I wanted to start a new series this year because I'm switching up a couple things on the podcast. So for the interviews, last year we talked a lot about strategy and, you know, specific tactics and things like that, and a lot of, advice. So this year, the interviews are going to be a little bit different. We're going to bring on some business owners and entrepreneurs that have started their own companies and hear their story. You know, like these cool, crazy, some of them have the most insane stories. We just did one that was about, two girls that literally quit their jobs and started a social media agency. And now they have like one of the biggest firms in New York City. Awesome. I've got another one coming up that's got a big lawsuit involved and how this guy took on one of the largest watch brands in the United States in a huge lawsuit. So I don't know how much details we'll get on that, but it's cool stuff like that. You know, like these brands that have a really unique story behind how they came to be and how they got to where they are. Because I guess, you know, every business starts as literally just somebody with an idea. So that's kind of the position we'll take on all of the interviews. And then for the solo episodes, I'm actually going to start off this year doing a little series about each one of the different industries that I've ever worked with. So, you know, we'll do an episode on hospitality. That's today. We'll do an episode on retail. We'll do an episode on nonprofits and some of the best practices and some ideas and things that we've seen success with. So that's been something I got a lot of questions on is, you know, people in specific industries wanting me to talk about, you know, that industry and, you know, what they can do to help market their business. So that's why we're starting off today. And I have to say, you'll hear my voice. This is not my regular voice. I've had some crazy sore throat this week. So it is me. I just sound a little bit different. So bear with me. I might have to chug some water in this episode. So, okay. So today we're going to talk about hospitality. And the reason why we're starting with this, you guys may not know, that's actually where I got my start in my career. I was doing a master's degree at Florida State, and I had to do an internship, and I got taken on by a big resort property in Destin, Florida called Emerald Grand. So I was there for, we marketed the hotel, and they had a lifestyle center down below. So we booked bands, we did beer festival, seafood festival, everything you could think of. So it was kind of an interesting, it was like a marketing and events position, which I was like 22 and I loved it. So I was there for a couple of years and then I moved on to be the director of marketing for the Hilton Sandestin. And so I just, you know, have always had a lot of connections to the hospitality world, food and beverage, all that good stuff. So it's kind of what I know best. But the agency today, I mean, we do serve a lot of hospitality, tourism, and travel clients. But we also represent a lot of products and services too, and even some personal brands. So, but I wanted to start off today with hospitality because it's kind of my bread and butter, and I love talking about it. And I love to travel myself. So I think that's why I love working with this industry so much. I love to travel, I love hotels. You know, it's always so fun to see all the different unique hotels. So today I wanted to kind of give you some thoughts. I've got 6 different things that I put together. You know, besides your typical paid stuff, you know, that's what this whole episode is about, is like different ideas besides paid stuff and just general advice about, you know, what works in the hospitality industry. And when I say hospitality, gosh, you know, that word means something different to everybody. Hospitality can mean hotels and resorts, food and beverage. Most people think of the word hospitality and they only think of hotels and resorts, which mainly, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today is resorts. Maybe I'll do a whole other episode just on food and beverage. It's actually probably a good idea. So today we'll probably talk mainly about hotels and resorts. And just some ideas besides your paid advertising. I think paid advertising is a no-brainer. You know, we do some ad placements for clients, and I always tell people, like, you can't live off organic only. I mean, that there are companies that maybe they go viral and they get a huge boost from that or something like that, but you have to advertise your business. You know, people even try to hire us sometimes in lieu of advertising. And then we're like, so where are you advertising? And they're like, oh, nowhere. We just hired y'all. And I'm like, no. You still have to do paid advertising, y'all. That's probably a whole episode in itself. But anyway, okay, so let's talk hotels and resorts. The number one thing I wrote down and the feedback that we get from, some of the resorts that we work with is that people want real. Okay. I preach this all the time. Anyway, if you listen to this podcast, people want to see photos of what they can expect, and people get really pissed if they show up on your property. And this is hotels, resorts, and like Airbnbs, vacation rentals, anything in that realm. They get really pissed if they show up and the photos that are on your website and on your social media, that is not what they experience when they get there. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Like people who get these like beautifully edited images, or they use a like the fishbowl lens and it makes the room look 20 times bigger, all those kind of things. Like, stop it with all the fancy. I mean, I'm all about some good photography, but not to the point when it's not realistic. Okay. So people want to see real. We also have a property, and this was really great feedback for us. And we used this one image all the time because it was such an amazing image, and it showed almost the full property from above because they have multiple pools, they have multiple buildings, they have the beach behind them, all this kind of stuff. So we used this one aerial shot, but the two side, you know, they have one beachfront building and then they have two side buildings that are like kind of pool side. And those are definitely not as nice as the beachfront building. Naturally, the beachfront building is an upgrade. So people see that image and their eyes would go straight to the big pool, the big beachfront building, and then the water, because the water looks banging in that photo. They don't recognize that there are two other buildings in that photo. And honestly, I mean, it's an aerial image, so it is a little hard to see because those towers aren't that tall. They're only like 2 stories, maybe 3. So we started getting a lot of feedback of people that were, you know, they would book the cheapest room they could book because they didn't realize that they thought there was one building. They just thought that the beachfront building, that was the hotel and that's it. So they booked the cheapest room that they could book. And then they get there and they were like, whoa, why? Like, I don't have a view of the beach. I'm not, what is this? You know? So we started realizing like we can't use that image all the time, because even though the buildings are, those side buildings are in that image, I mean, naturally your eye just goes to this beautiful turquoise water and the beachfront building and the pool. You know what I mean? So we had to start switching it up to help people recognize, and that also helped the web team to know, you know, when in the room descriptions, when they go in to start selecting their room, of like putting a map on there and actually showing and detailing, like, this is not a beachfront building. This is a poolside room kind of thing. So in general, people want real. And that's why like all these, you know, review sites are so popular, not just with hospitality, but like in every industry, people look for reviews. Why do you think Yelp is so popular, you know, with food and beverage? Like what you see on someone's website, you know, like for example, like a Burger King commercial. You know, you see this big, beautiful burger. I'm not hating on Burger King, but all the fast food joints do it. You see this big, beautiful burger on the TV, and then when you actually go through the drive-thru, that is not what it looks like when you get it. It's like smushed and it's squeezed in that paper, and it's like smashed down in the bottom of your bag. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what you get. So people go to these review sites because they actually want to see what they're going to get. One good idea for this in this like first point under people want real, A, stop it with the overly edited images, like shoot people straight. They want to see what they're getting, what they're paying for. But number two, you could do live videos. And we have a property that once a month we go live and we actually walk through the property. We walk through rooms, we walk through wedding space, we walk around the pool area. We actually get on there. And I mean, when you're live, you're fully exposed. Anything can happen. In fact, we've had some really crazy things happen in the background. People slamming tequila shots. Somebody's butt crack was hanging out. Just like, you know, people on vacation, drunk people on vacation. But a live video is so raw and realistic that like you can't hide anything. And I think people appreciate that. And like, you know, like sometimes I would get on camera and talk and I would screw stuff up and you just laugh about it, you know, we're all human. I just laugh and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't talk today. What I'm trying to say is, you know, like everything doesn't have to be so manicured and perfect. So that's number one, is that people want real. Okay. Number two, this kind of goes with number one, is user generated content. This should be a huge thing. And hotels like and resorts, you have it so easy because people on vacation love to take photos and share it on social. You know, they're making their friends jealous. They're showing off their new bathing suit. They're showing off their snow skis, whatever they're doing. You know, they're taking tons of photos and they're tagging you. Hello. They're like serving up free content for you on a silver platter and you should use it. I mean, definitely you want to give people credit, you know, put the little camera emoji and like tag them. People get so freaking excited when the resort shares their stuff. Okay. So, and then everyone's like, but do I need to like message them and ask them for permission and everything? And I'm like, no, if they tag you, that to me, that is an unwritten rule of if you tag the resort, you are wanting the resort to see your image, you know? And I mean, the worst that can happen, we have had a few people before that would write back and be like, please don't share my photo. And we're like, okay, you know, and we just take it down. But honestly, if you're talking from a legal standpoint, it's completely fair game to share their photo if they've already put it out on social media. But it's always nice to give them some credit. So user-generated content, okay? How you can find it, obviously check your hashtags, like your branded hashtags, but also check other hashtags that are like similar to your name. For example, when I was with the Hilton Sandestin, we call it the Hilton Sandestin. Other people would call it Hilton Sandestin Beach, or they call it Sandestin Hilton, or they put in the Hilton Sandestin. So I would check all these variations of hashtags. Also check location tags. And also check the check-ins, you know, like on Facebook. So you can find, you know, those are just like everyday regular people that are sharing. And obviously some of it's going to be really good content and others is not. So don't share it, you know. But this also goes in with influencer campaigns. My God, we see so much success with influencer campaigns for resorts and hotels. Okay, so we had a client one time. I like telling y'all stories that go with this. I mean, it comes to life when you hear a story, okay? We had a client that he was probably early 60s, and he's like not into the influencer thing. He didn't even know what we were talking about. And we were like, hey, can we host these influencers? And he's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you're going to give these little random girls, like, on Instagram. He didn't even call it Instagram. He, like, butchered it. He's like, you're going to give these random people free stays just for what? What? And so we tried to explain it to him. We were like, look, just give us a shot and let us, you know, comp these people stay and we'll give them $50 in food and beverage credit. No big deal. And, you know, these influencers were anywhere from like 10,000 followers, I think, to like 50,000. So not like huge, huge influencers, but definitely like good active accounts with good engagement. So we had six influencers come and we gave each one of them a trackable code and a special offer to share with their audience. And they booked over $33,000 worth of room nights. Yeah. And you bet that the client afterwards was like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is the cheapest advertising I've ever heard of. I mean, really, like, and we were like, thank you. Thank you. So after that, he was like, have a freaking heyday. You can have all the influencers you want as long as we aren't sold out on one of those nights. Have all the influencers that you want. So, I mean, influencers are great. And you can go back and listen to some of our episodes about influencers. Influencers are great as long as you, A, pick somebody who is your demographic. Birds of a feather flock together, right? So if they're your demographic, chances are the people that follow them are also your demographic, okay? And then also vet them sometimes because people can buy followers. You got to look. If they've got 50,000 followers and they're getting 3 likes on a photo, okay, that's fake. Fake followers, okay? So just do some diligence to make sure. And then when you reach out to them, like, get it in writing. Get a contract in place that says, we're giving you this. You're going to give us this in return and follow up with them. Give them talking points of like the history of the property and the highlights and what you're best known for and what you want them to talk about. I mean, you can't control their message, but you can absolutely influence it and say, hey, here's some, you know, oh, we just started a new taco bar by the beach or whatever, you know, would love for you to go down there and get tacos and capture that, you know, like, you know, give them some ideas, and then they'll take it and run with it. So that's number two, influencer campaigns. If you are a resort or a hotel and you're not doing influencer campaigns, I'd really just like to know why. Like, honestly, what do you have to lose? You know, if you're not already booked that night and the room, if you're not sold out, what do you have to lose by doing this? I feel like you're insane if you're not doing it. So, again, you got to set yourself up for success, but it's definitely lucrative. And it's, even if you don't book any rooms out of it, again, there's no skin off your back. The room was going to be empty anyway, and you're getting good exposure and you're probably going to get more followers. Even if you don't get bookings, you're probably going to get more followers on your page. So that's a win. Okay. So that's number two. And number three, this is something that we really push for a lot of our properties. Promote the area. You know, people don't want to be sold something all the time. So if you're just cramming it down their throat of like, you know, stay here. And the only thing you ever post is like a picture of the room, a picture of the pool. It's just me all the time. Like, people want to know what's happening in that destination. So if you're in downtown Austin, like, maybe there's a cool festival or concert coming up that weekend, or maybe there's, you know, a big game for a pro sports team or something. Like, talk about the city and the destination in general, like things to do in the area. Like, that positions your brand as kind of like the go-to resource for all things downtown Austin or whatever the case may be, you know? So, you know, this is great for social media, but also on your website. It depends. Okay. Obviously, I know some resorts out there, if you're a corporate property, then you're probably going to be, you're just going to have a small page on like the corporate pay on the corporate website. But if you're an independent property with a vanity site, if you don't take anything away from this episode, for the love of God, hear me on this one. If you're an independent property and you've got your own vanity website, you should pack out your website with tons of content about things to do in the area, because people look and they shop for a destination first, right? For things to do in that destination. And then when they're like, oh, wow, you know, Austin's really cool. There's so much to do there. Then they start looking for a place to stay. So if you know, when they start searching for things to do, if they're already finding your website for information about the area, then boom, you're the first one in front of them when they go to book a stay. Okay. So then you can hit them with pop-ups on your websites of like special offers and things like that. But overall, for SEO, like, promote the area, things to do for kids, things to do for couples, you know, top, top spas in the area or local events coming up. All those kind of things on your website are going to help your visibility big time. And if you're a corporate property, don't worry about your website. Focus, you can put some of that into social media. So that's number three, is to promote the area. Number four, this is also for independent properties, but I have seen some corporate properties, we used to do one at the Hilton, do their own email blasts. Okay. So, you know, the goal with properties in general is booking direct, right? You don't want people on OTA sites. For anybody out there listening, if you're not in the hospitality, travel, resort world, OTA sites are outside travel agencies. So that's going to be like your Expedia, your booking.com, your Travelocity.com. When people book through those sites, it takes a big chunk out of the hotel's cut. So naturally, everybody wants you to book direct. I always book direct when I book a hotel because I know that they reward people for that. And if you actually really do see a price that's cheaper on an OTA site, you could probably call the hotel and say, hey, I see it on booking.com right now for $189. Like, can you match that? And they will always match it because they want you to book direct. So anyway, booking direct is directly influenced by email blast. So, you know, like at the Hilton Sandestin, we used to export the emails and we had our own constant contact where we would, because we knew we had repeat loyal guests. So we would do newsletters twice a month, or actually, no, I think we did once a week back then. We did once a week newsletters to anyone who had been a past guest. And it was massively successful for getting them to book direct. Same thing with another property. God, I mean, we had another property that got so strong with direct bookings that they ended up saving like $160,000 on OTA fees. And the very next year, they went independent. They dropped their flag. For anybody who doesn't know what a flag is, that's like, you know, a flag would be like Marriott, Hilton, you know, Hyatt. Those are flags, quote unquote. They dropped their flag. They went fully independent because their direct bookings were so strong. And their email blast list continues to grow because we just keep pumping it up with everybody who's been a past guest. So, you know, and in these email blasts, again, we try to make it fun and engaging, not salesy. You know, it's like, you know, we share a cocktail recipe. We share an event that's coming up next month. We share, you know, the live video that we did last week and let people click through to watch it. We try to make it editorial and fun and not book now, book now. But I mean, we do usually have a call to action on there somewhere, but it is not the number one thing, and we're not beating people over the head with it, you know? So, email marketing is massively successful. And especially again, in a hotel, you're getting everyone's email already. So if you're not doing this, I mean, come on, what are you doing? And also I mean, I get it. If you're a corporate property, your brand may not take kindly to that. So I'm fully aware. But if you can pull it off, I would absolutely say do it. So that's number four is email blasts. Number five, engaging locals during your slower season. You know, if your peak season is wintertime and the summer gets really, really stale, like what can you do? Can you offer Sunday brunch for locals? Can you offer poolside passes for locals in the summer? Or, you know, what can you do that will engage locals? Or maybe it's, gosh, for one property, we did a live painting brunch. So we had a local artist come out and actually paint during the brunch. And it was really, really a big hit. We had a DJ and it felt really fun and metro and all that. So every property is so different. It's based on the city you're in, the season that, you know, is peak and low for you. And like, all those different things, but do some type of event. Or, I mean, gosh, you could even do, you know, I've seen them do like trivia night, and it just depends totally on the level of your property. If you're super luxury, obviously I don't think trivia is probably a hit, you know, but do something to bring people in, to drive food and beverage revenue, or to drive spa revenue, to drive anything. to engage locals. Because also too, you know, when your property becomes the place in the community, it's like rising tide lifts all ships, right? So like that's where people want to work. Okay. Everybody's dying to hire employees right now. And they're, it's so hard to keep employees, but like, you know, that's, there you go. Like make your place, the community place to be where fun things are happening and it's lots of positivity and you're going to have more employees. Your locals are going to want to support you. And then, you know, these tourists, when they come into town, if they find a local, they ask locals where to go, what to do, that kind of thing. So again, it only strengthens your brand and your presence. So number five is engaging locals in your slower season. And number six is a really good one. It is to partner with your local CVB. You know, or everybody calls it something different, a TDC, a CVB, a TDD, it, you know, for anybody who doesn't know what that is, CVB, Convention and Visitors Bureau, TDD is Tourist Development Department, TDC, Tourist Development Council, whatever. Most counties or cities have one. So think of like Visit Denver or Visit San Francisco. You know, there's Visit Pensacola. There's all of them, you know, and what they do is they are basically a marketing team that is dedicated to your city or your county. And their job is to promote tourism, promote tourists to come to your area. End of discussion. So when you take in a bed tax as a hotel, resort, vacation rental property, whatever, Airbnb, that bed tax that you collect and you pay in, that goes to the TDC, CVB, whoever, whatever. It goes to their pocket, and that's the budget that they use to market the area. So they go to trade shows, they help start events, they support initiatives, all kinds of stuff. They help provide structure in the community. Like, you know, I've seen them build bike paths before because it encouraged more people to get outside, or it provided an alternative option to when they're not doing something else, you know, like giving more activities in the area. So a CVB or a TDD can do a lot of different things. And they usually have a good budget, and they're, you know, working with writers and influencers themselves. So like, reach out to your TDC or your CVB and say, hey, what can we partner on? Or, hey, next time you have a writer, I'd love to host them at my property, or anything. Or maybe you have an event. You're like, hey, I have this event. Would you guys like to come out and do a live on your social media to help promote it in our area? You know, just open that line of communication. I guarantee there's really good opportunities there. So I always have a really good relationship with any CVB in any area that we have a resort, because that's their job. That money is given to them and they have to use it to promote the area. So why not reach out, make a connection, and see what opportunity might be there? So hospitality is one of my faves. I could probably go on and on forever, but those were just six quick things that I thought, you know, this moves the needle for hotels and resorts. If I had to give any, you know, hotel owner advice, or GM or anything of the nature, these are all, you know, things that I would suggest to do. That, and like I said, like a lot of these don't even cost a lot of money. It's just content creation. It's putting yourself out there. You know, it's checking the low hanging fruit that's out there. So, and if you're doing paid campaigns on top of this and you've got your organic side covered, I have no doubt that you'll crush it. You know, we had one campaign for a resort that got the number one, you know, it was named number one integrated marketing campaign in the state of Florida, which was so cool, right? But it just goes to show, when you get together, you have a good idea, you execute it, and then you actually like follow up and look at the data to see what's working. You know, none of this should be based off of what you think you know. And I have a lot of clients sometimes that'll say, like, I've lived in this area for this long and I've worked at this property for 10 years and I know what works and what doesn't. And when we pull the data, it actually does not support what they're saying. So I hate to be the bad guy sometimes, but I don't go off of feelings. I go off of facts, you know? So we try to be unbiased, look at the data from social media, from email marketing, from their website, from their guests and the people that are staying with them. Look at that data and you'd probably be freaking amazed, because we can make guesses all day long. And yeah, maybe you have worked at that property for 10 years, but I guarantee like things evolve and things change. And like looking at the data is never going to steer you wrong. Okay. It's like the scale never lies. The data doesn't lie. People, you will see what people want, what they like, what works and what doesn't when you look at the data. I could go on a tangent, but I won't. Anyway, we love working with hotels and resorts. We've worked with everything from, you know, independent properties, like really small properties, to really big 700 room properties, a little bit of everything. We've worked with vacation rental companies. It's just a really fun industry and we know it really, really well. So much love to all my hospitality people out there. It's a really fun industry. So, all right, for the next solo episode, if you have a specific industry you want me to hit, I've got some in mind, but if you got one you want me to hit and to talk about, I'm happy to hop on here and do an episode. So hit me up on Instagram. It's The Whitney Lee. You can also find True Story Public Relations everywhere, LinkedIn, Instagram, truestorypr.co if you want to check out the website. So would love to hear your feedback and which industry you want to hear about next. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.